The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. This is Garner Ted Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. You're living in staggering times, and as a result, most of us want to forget about it. You're living in a time of such insoluble problems and such gigantic news events that most people are afraid to face the present, let alone worry much about the future. Escapism is big business today. People moving about from place to place, travel is at an all-time high. Travel around the United States, around Europe, and back and forth across the seas is certainly one of the biggest businesses in the history of mankind. And today, entertainment is a fantastic business. People drifting into ready-made daydreams, trying to blot out from their minds the reality of this frightening age in which we live. An age where your newspapers talk about grappling with a hydrogen bomb warhead deep beneath the surface of the Mediterranean Sea, with about as much explosive force as unleashed by all sides during the entirety of all of World War II. And there they are trying to clutch the thing and grab a hold of it by grappling hooks or a cable, and bring it back up, and of course, international furores over this, involving many large nations. Quite an age where we see a visiting dignitary from one of the largest nations population-wise on the face of the earth come to the United States to sit down to talk about additional foreign aid, about more wheat for starving millions. Quite an age where you read of statements such as that one that was reported recently about the hydrogen bomb being the answer to all of our problems and the way to peace. One of the most shocking things you'll ever hear. You ever hear it put that way before, that the hydrogen bomb is the way to peace? Well, that's been said by Viscount Slim over in Great Britain. It's our only and our greatest hope for peace. So here we are in a world where the population explosion, mounting drought and famine, man's attempt to get to the moon, society's sickness, possible race riots, all of the terrible sociological problems and the horrible mental anxiety of this age drives people into a frantic search and almost obsessive desire to blot out the present and to avoid thinking about the future. And certainly one of the most crass of all proofs of this frantic attempt of ours to blot out of our minds reality is the latest. There's a lot of 40-year-olds who are reliving their comic book days by watching the Biff Bang Sock on television in the United States. If you people in Australia haven't seen that one yet, stand by, you will. Of something called, vulture and egret, or buzzard and sparrow, or Batman and Robin. And it is said by people in the industry that what they are doing is sort of reliving a section or a segment of their youth when they used to sit up with their soft drinks or something else they could get their hands on, and the Batman comic book. And so now mothers and daddies are watching this stuff, and the kids are watching it and told to be quiet if they want to turn to another channel. And to me, one of the most purely ironical things of all time, I heard of on my way back from Cape Kennedy at the shot of Gemini 8, which we reported on in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, and the blast-off of the Atlas Agena unmanned space vehicle is the cover picture. And I was there at Cape Kennedy, which I have reported on in this current number of the Plain Truth magazine. There's a picture here in full color, two of them, as a matter of fact. I'm standing by this Agena unmanned vehicle, the exact replica of it, at press site number 2 over there at Cape Kennedy. If you want to write for that magazine, 52 pages, full color, free of charge, no follow-up for it. But on the way back, I had heard that Mr. Paul Harvey had commented on this, that New York City was one area in which hundreds of calls were received to television stations and by the networks because people were irritated that these two astronauts, wildly tumbling in their spacecraft above their heads, wondering whether or not they were going to have enough retro rocket energy left to get them back into the Earth's atmosphere and down to sea safely. And all of this was being reported by some of the leading reporters over the network television programs, and from time to time they would either preempt or else they would interrupt an existing program on television to talk about Gemini 8. And the callers were indignant, and they said, "What am I going to tell my kids? You call up here or you interfere in my Batman program?" A lot of them were watching a science fiction series that has to do with space. of all things. Now, here is real-life drama above their heads, a couple of very, very fantastically courageous men who were really in serious trouble for a little while, and the networks are trying to report it, and people are so plugged in to modern society, so absolutely obsessive in their desire to drift into their ready-made daydreams to relive a segment of their youth and their comic book days of yesteryear, that they are willing to call the networks and gripe that they have been interrupted in their pleasure. Isn't that fantastic? Well, it happened. That really is quite a commentary on human nature, isn't it? We're living in the most fantastic age of all history. Shocking things, history-making things, frightening things. Reality is really staggering today. But people want to escape from reality because they can't face it. And for some reason, we want to drift into complete unreality. Well, that was really something that I learned, and I was certainly interested in it. I was right there on the spot. That was one of the most personally shaking experiences that I have ever been through. I was so nervous, it was all you could do to take pictures. And I was thinking, here I am, hearing the voices of the astronauts coming back. They are calmly reporting on the systems and the way they're functioning in this giant vehicle as they go thundering and clattering off up into space, and I'm having trouble snapping the camera because I'm so excited watching it. And then when I think of all these people glued to their TV sets watching some kind of a thing called Outer Limits or something else and wanting not to be interrupted by this Gemini shot, I wondered, what on earth kind of people are these? Just how far can we sink into our own personal pleasures that we're not a bit concerned with this fantastic race to conquer space and to get on the moon, which has its ultimate outcome, the domination of this world? Boy, I'll tell you, you begin to wonder just how far can we go. Well, you know, in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, I report on those exact feelings, just what this was like. And I don't think you have ever read before, incidentally, anyone describe what those vehicles sound like when they go thundering off the pad. And it's different than you would think. The very experience, I tried to portray in words exactly what it feels like to be right there and to see such a launch. So the cover picture, one of the most completely beautiful color pictures of a blast-off I have ever seen in my life, and many other pictures inside, including a picture from inside this big building that is going to be the center of world attention here before long when this gigantic Saturn moon vehicle goes blasting off into space. And other articles and features which I will tell you about through this program in the Plain Truth magazine. So if you haven't got a pen or a pencil handy, get one and be sure to jot down the mailing address which I will give you at the close of this program and write in for the world's unique magazine, The Plain Truth. Well, that obsessive desire to escape reminded me of the time when over in Las Vegas, a couple of FBI men were shot outside the home of a woman who was watching a television program. Now, these men were on stakeout, involved in trying to capture someone they suspected was connected with a dope ring and might have been connected with the mafia, or the Cosa Nostra, as they say today. So here's this real-life drama taking place in the streets, and a couple of deputy sheriffs are machine-gunned or shotgunned, whichever it was, in their automobile. Nobody came to see what happened. Everybody was sitting there in their living room. One woman before whose home this occurred was asked later by investigating police, well, didn't you hear all this clatter and all this noise? Well, yes, I did. Well, why didn't you get up to come to see what had happened? She said, well, I would have, but I was watching television. They asked what she was watching. She was watching The Untouchables. Now, if that hasn't gotten to Australia, and I think it has long since, that is a television series about FBI men trying to capture criminals. Here, right outside her front door, is that very thing going on in real life, or should I say real death, which it was? You talk about being plugged into society. Well, coming in the next number of the Plain Truth magazine is going to be an article on this fantastic desire to escape from reality because we are so fearful of the present. And you know, entertainment, alcoholism becoming public health problem number four now, I believe, and quite a concern of government leaders, gambling becoming quite a concern. You know, 50% of the adult population of London gambles. This was shocking to me. We're reporting on it in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine. An article entitled, Gambling Mania Grips Great Britain. Now, I hadn't realized it was that bad. It's become a major social problem in Britain, and again, this is an obsessive desire to fill our minds with something. Now, a lot of people like to sit around and play a game of cards. This is something far different from that. This is serious, concerted, steady gambling that is now involving some 12 million people every single week, and more than half the adult males in the country can afford a few shillings a week in a nation that doesn't have the shillings to afford to gamble. The desire to get something for nothing. I think you've heard, like I have, the sensationalism involved in the family who won the Irish sweepstakes when such and such a long shot came through. Have you also heard what happened to them 5 or 6 years later? After they went on the huge pleasure binge and ended up with everything gone and tax problems they couldn't meet? Usually you don't hear that part of it. Well, bingo has become a national craze in Great Britain today. Here are the pictures to illustrate it. People standing around the various gaming tables and so on. So that is another article in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, coming to you absolutely free of charge. Nobody's asking you to get in the bandwagon and beat the drum and join something or other. It's free of charge. It's in full color throughout. And it certainly illustrates the problem. Why do you suppose the barroom hours are regulated the way they are in Australia and in Britain, South Africa, not to the same extent in the United States? I was surprised when I went to Australia when I was told by a hotel man, I forget the exact hours, so please forgive me, you people listening anywhere from Coolgardie to Kalgoorlie to Launceston in Tasmania. I forget the exact hours, and they may vary from place to place, but it's been regulated to the point that they open for a certain period of time in the afternoon, after work hours, then they close for a couple or 3 hours, right in the middle of what would be the evening rush hour. You can't buy a drink in Australia. Why? I had it explained to me, because they want to send the workers home. And they're afraid that a lot of them simply wouldn't make it home. And they close the bars, and they've got to go out for the dinner hour, and then they reopen them later on in the evening. Now, isn't that something where the government has to step in to regulate the hours of the bar rooms to keep people in this insatiable desire to completely block from our minds our job, our wife, our husband, our mother-in-law, our problems on the job, or the giant problems of the world in general, and to blot it out of our minds by drifting off into the unreal sort of a stupor of the third martini set who thinks everything is funny. And, of course, some of the biggest national weekly news magazines are reporting on, what is it, LSD and some of these various drugs today, the heightened perception or the dulled perception. For example, as I read in a recent program, everybody is having a hand at predicting the future today, and people talk about the age of plenty of the next 50 or 100 years, and some of these predictions can be a little bit frightening. Now, for example, they talk about anti-grouch pills, and they talk about people being able to control not only their minds, but the minds of other people by pills. We talk about plastic organs and hearts. We talk about perpetual life through science, and we talk about controlling people's very personalities by drugs. So in an article in a well-known weekly news magazine entitled Looking Toward AD 200, or 2000 rather, it was said that nearly all experts agree that bacterial and viral diseases will have been virtually wiped out by that time, and probably heart disease will have been eliminated. Drug control of personality. Now, this brings up a lot of problems, a lot of questions that I'm quite concerned about, because it's possible that I could still be alive about that time. It's possible that you could be. It's certainly possible that your children could be. Now, here's what they are seriously saying might begin to occur by 2000. Drug control of personality will be widely accepted well before the year 2000. If a wife or husband seems to be unusually grouchy on a given evening, a spouse will be able to pop down to the corner drugstore, buy some anti-grouch pills, and slip them into the coffee. Or a lackadaisical person could be dosed into a sense of ambition. And then this essay, which appeared in Time magazine, said it will become possible eventually to control the shape or color of men to come. Who controls it? Somebody else. And that's the area in which I'm concerned. Now, to whom would you like to give the job or the responsibility of deciding what kind of an attitude you should have? You want your wife to decide whether or not you got the right to be grouchy or not?
Do you want someone else to tell you they think you're too fat or too thin or too short or too tall? You like your color? Would you like to become a nice chocolate shade? Would you like to become a nice pinkish shade? Would you like to become purple, blue, polka dot, or striated? Maybe you'd like a sort of a barber pole effect. What about your hair? Is it kinky or straight? Which way would you like it? They claim to be able to do this through genetics, through drugs, and pills in the future. Now, Dr. Irvin H. Page, who is director of research at the Cleveland Clinic, remarked that scientific achievements have given many people the illusion that with enough money, science and equipment, any problem could eventually be solved and happiness will automatically result. And that is a great, big, fluffy daydream. That is not true. That is a big, exaggerated, blown-up pink bubble that is soon going to burst. People today are looking to science, and a lot of them to pharmacology and the like, as their god. And they think that's going to solve all of their problems. It's quite common to see serious-minded businessmen, politicians, and others sit down to lunch and gulp their pills first, because they're going to either slow down or get pepped up. And people are just now beginning, said this AP release, hazily, to realize that things are not working out as they ought to. But rarely do we stop to think ahead before some disaster hits us. We've got the idea that pills, medicine, drugs, psychology, psychiatry, and it's interesting in the universities that tremendous numbers of students are going into this kind of thing today, and the experimentation of seeing human beings under the influence of certain drugs and experimenting with animals about these drugs, things such as nerve gas, biological and chemical warfare, and also the experimentation of such drugs on the public market. And this is becoming a very interesting thing to a lot of university students. They want to get into the field of psychiatry, of dealing with the human mind and being able to control it, not theirs, the minds of others. Now, Irwin D. Kenham, who is the editor of the Christian Science Monitor, said in a recent address in Seattle, Washington, that material knowledge is growing at a pace no human intellect can really grasp. And he really put his finger on a part of the problem here about this thing of control of your personality, of wifey slipping down to the corner drugstore because she decides for herself that hubby is too grouchy this evening and asks some pretty important questions about it. A major question is, who will control this vast store of knowledge? Responsible natural scientists are discussing the possibilities of biological and mind control, including drugs which directly affect personality and thinking. But, he asked this, how is the individual to be protected? How are his sovereign rights, your sovereign rights, over your capacity to do your own thinking and to reach decisions according to your own conscience and your own highest sense of right, how are these to be preserved? That's a good question. I didn't write that article. I didn't write the one where people seriously say you're going to be living by 2000 in an age where you can slip down to the corner drugstore and buy a pill because you've decided your spouse is not acting in a way which is acceptable to you. Today, we pass laws to make it illegal to obtain medicines or drugs which affect your own mind. And it's against the law for you to take certain drugs or medicines which might either heighten or dull your perception to the point that it's habit-forming and therefore damaging to the mind or the body. This is against the law today. Yet they tell us by 2000 the glittering glamour world, the fantastic Disneyland of pleasure that we envision for ourselves while we ignore the starving millions abroad, that you're going to be living in a world of complete mind control, of personality control, of somebody deciding for you even the size and the shape of your children. We're going to control everything, they claim. Our environment, our weather, our minds, our body, our size, our shape, our height, the color of our hair and eyes. And people seem to think this is going to be nice. This is going to be good. Is it going to be good? Whose hands would you like to have all the power in? To whom would you like to abrogate your personal sovereignty? To whom would you like to give the power to control your personality, to decide whether or not your attitude is right or wrong, to decide whether or not you're happy or unhappy? Because that's where it's heading. It's about time someone began asking those questions. I don't know of a single druggist or a doctor or anybody else on the face of this earth into whose hands I am willing to place the key to the door of my mind. I don't know anybody in whose hands I would place a package of pills and say, give me one of these when I look unhappy. Yet this is the world that is seriously being considered as the glamour world, the greatest achievement of mankind in the future. In well-known weekly news magazines, Time magazine is not a scandal sheet. Time magazine, in a Time essay, was not trying to be sensational, they were being serious. And they say nearly all experts agree. And it will be widely accepted. This drug control of personality will be widely accepted well before the year 2000. Well, if I'm still alive then, there's going to be one very vociferous dissenter around. I'll tell you for sure. I'm not about to widely or even in a limited fashion accept any drug control of my personality. There's one thing about me. Nobody's going to change but me and God Almighty. And that's my personality. Now, I can see a lot of things about my personality that need changing, all right? And I'm willing to look further to find more. But nobody's going to stick a pill in my mouth and tell me that's going to change my personality. And the amazing thing to me is that people can seriously say, this is utopia. Well, then who's going to have the power to run around to decide about your personality? I'll tell you, that is the height of all escapism to me. And here are the problems around. Fantastic problems, frightening problems, dizzying problems. And then here is some man in a white smock who runs around with a fistful of pills and says, open, take two, gulp, swallow, and puts this pleasant sort of a dumb look on your face and you drift off into dreamland and forget about your problems. That's not the way to solve your problems. Forget they exist. Can you envision an age where people are going running around doing this to each other, controlling each other's personality? Can you put it into a practical application? It says here, we could control grouchiness, and we can also heighten perception that a lackadaisical person could be dosed into a sense of ambition. All right, you could also do it in reverse, no doubt. So let's put it into the field of business. You go to work, you decide your boss is entirely too active. So you slip him a lackadaisical pill, and you take about three real quick energizers. So the next day, you've got his job. He wakes up as he comes out of his lackadaisical stupor and says, hey, that guy's got more energy than I have, and here I am kind of lethargic, and he slips you a lackadaisical pill. And he takes two or three of these heightened perception, high-intensity, charge-on kind of pills, and then he's got your job. This could be a sort of a dizzying merry-go-round after a while, couldn't it? And it was sort of like one of these cartoons. It's kind of like a Laurel and Hardy picture. You paint my face, I calmly wait while you do it, and then I take the whitewash brush and I paint your face. A deliberate sort of a hilarious merry-go-round of trick-playing on each other. And, you know, I didn't read that in a comic book. That's Life magazine. That's Time magazine. That's some of these major weekly news magazines. This is exactly what science is predicting, the kind of a future in which you can expect to live if science has its way. Well, my friends, it's about time you quit trying to escape from reality and came back down to earth and got yourself unplugged from this electronic society, got your minds off the boob tube just long enough to think about the world the way it really is, begin to face the problem squarely, and then to ask yourself, seriously, what are your chances? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not scared because I've got a source before me that tells me the outcome of world conditions. Now, look, there's one thing about these predictions that is always very, very lamentable. They seem to focus upon one little, tiny, narrow aspect of the picture and deny the broad scope of world events. These predictions about this fantastic glamour world of the 2000s, they talk about the United States and how we're going to have all this great, tremendous, glitter world of leisure and entertainment and pleasure and travel and more automobiles and more of the fantastic gadgets that make life so enjoyable, at least so we think. In the meantime, that shuts out of your mind and completely leaves out of the predictions the potentially starving millions of India, the fantastic population explosion, the terrible problems of China, Indonesia, of a divided Berlin, of the Jew-Arab crisis, of the Aden and Yemeni crisis, of the problems in the Arab states, of the problems inside of Africa, of the problems in Central and South America. It says, tacitly, that we expect all you millions of people around the world to quietly die and do not make too much noise doing it, as you starve to death slowly, while we continue in our island of plenty to build up a bigger Disneyland of greater pleasure, even running around slipping pills in each other's coffee, if we get the slightest concern about some problem and become grouchy over it, and we'll go on into eternity doing this, slipping pills in each other's coffee, and forgetting about the staggering problems of mankind.
Nearly all these predictions that you see about this great medical world of plastic hearts completely denies the picture of the world at large.
Well, the source of which I speak does not ignore any of that, but tells you about all of it. And doesn't try to blot it out of mind. Doesn't try to say that the problems will take care of themselves if you don't worry about them. Doesn't take the attitude the people did who called the networks and said, orbiting satellite, tumbling vehicle, what? That's not my problem. Forget it. I want to see Batman. That's exactly the attitude that many of these callers have. And that source of which I speak, that admits the problems, but shows their cause and shows their outcome and shows there is good news beyond, that there is the right outcome ahead, is Bible prophecy. Now, everybody can have a big laugh over that because most people are so convinced the Bible is so totally out of date and irrelevant to our modern age that they couldn't be convinced of anything more firmly. Except, possibly, that they do want to watch their favorite TV show. But they are convinced that the Bible is not up to date today. They've never read it, admittedly, never looked into it, and are embarrassed to think that they ought to. But nevertheless, they have a very, very firm conviction about it. Did you know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was a prophet? Did you know that he described the exact conditions that are extant on this earth today? Let me just give you a few excerpts out of Matthew 24, the most famous of all prophecies of the Bible. And this relates directly to the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, which has article after article about these very conditions that Jesus Christ of Nazareth foretold nearly 2,000 years ago. He said in Matthew 24, when he was asked what about the time that he referred to as the climax at the close of an age, not the blasting into oblivion of mankind, the salvation of mankind. He gave the good news about how we're going to be protected and survive. But first he said there would be, listen in his own words here, verse 6, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24 and verse 6. What's your newspaper full of? Mine talks about Vietnam. Mine talks about Yemen and Aden. Mine talks about the Jew-Arab strife. Mine talks about armed revolutions, about strife, about demonstrations and flag burnings and effigy burnings. It talks about overthrow of government or some kind of a coup or something of that nature. Almost all the time, wars and rumors of more of them. Is this accurate or a mistake? Is it up to date or out of date? He said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end, that is the climax at the close of the age, is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. In the last two numbers of the Plain Truth, we've talked about famine. Coming in the next number will be pictures from on the spot of exactly those conditions developing inside Australia. Up to date or not? What's out of date about the visit of Indira Gandhi to the United States saying, my people are starving, help me? Is that up to date or not? Matthew 24 said famines. Clear back nearly 2,000 years ago, and he meant our day. Oh, these things are happening, all right. They're in your newspapers. Pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Did you hear about China the other day? Biggest earthquakes in history? It's happening right now. Write for the Plain Truth magazine and see it for yourself. Another article on Inside South America. This article, it certainly has to do with our age. On I Saw Gemini 8 Blast Off, taken from on the spot. Gambling Mania Grips Britain, the article from South America. 3 pages of radio log, and it's free of charge, no price, if you send your name and address to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. The address is Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to list the call letters of your station. The address again in just a moment. Remember, the Plain Truth is free. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.